Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
There are probably very few people out there who have not heard of the allegations of racism at high schools across the country, and at least three incidents currently up for debate, discussion, and a lot of emotion at present. Now, certainly, from as far as I'm concerned, racism, the experience of it, the accusation of doing it, are all things that are so complex and need to be dealt with so much professionalism and, to some extent, certainly finesse, and particularly when you're dealing with teenagers who are not yet adults. And we all know that from experience. The results can be devastating in a whole range of ways, both seen and unseen. To help me unpack this is a person who's spent a lot of time being very committed to dealing with issues such as this, and that is council member of the IRR, Richard Wilkinson, who is a non-practicing attorney and writes essays about the influence of critical race theory and gender ideology in South African schools. His website, school-capture.com, has seen the publication of 15 essays covering bogus allegations of racism at St. Cillian's and St. John's, microaggressions in Rodine's disciplinary policy, and their use to fire two teachers at St. Mary's Waverley. He's also looked at the influence of a Hamas-aligned madrasa at Rodine, and his latest essays concerned exactly what has happened, particularly at Pretoria High School for Girls. And that's really what we're going to discuss. Briefly look at the issues and then talk about the ramifications in respect of a whole number of role players. Richard, very, very welcome to Chai FM. I think you've been before, but not for a very long time.
Hi, good morning, Sarah. I've never actually been on Chai FM before, so this is a real thrill for me. I think it's one of the great... one of the very few bright spots in our media landscape, and I'm a big fan of Chai FM, as is my mother. So thank you for having me on. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, you know what they say about not having to be Jewish to enjoy Chai FM. But yeah. Having said that, you, by virtue of your Substack, your site, and your involvement in the, shall we say, the rigors and generally unpleasantness involving critical race theory and its implementation in schools, you were approached by parents whose daughters were accused of racism. Do you want to give us a quick background as to what you can advise us the facts have been in this case?
Sure. So I was approached last weekend, that's just over a week ago, by a father at Pretoria High School for Girls. And he informed me that his daughter had been suspended from school along with 11 other girls. So in total, there are 12 white matric girls who've been suspended from school. And that they needed some assistance in dealing with the matter. I got hold of the suspension letter, which really is incredibly brief. I mean, I've actually got the actual words that were written in the suspension letter. It just says, your daughter was part of the WhatsApp group that allegedly expressed inappropriate opinions. And on that basis, your daughter's being charged with serious misconduct and has been suspended from school. And the letter does not actually indicate any details relating to the charge. It doesn't tell you which WhatsApp group, doesn't tell you what they alleged to have said. It does make reference to a few rules in the school policies, but the paragraph numbers listed in the suspension letter refer to sections of the school policies that don't exist. And so it's a grossly incompetent suspension letter. I then drove through to Pretoria and spent last Sunday afternoon meeting with a group of six of the girls and their parents. I reviewed the WhatsApp conversation, which is incredibly innocuous. I mean, there's absolutely nothing in the WhatsApp conversation that could be described as being racist. Certainly nothing that comes even close to meeting the test for hate speech. And I met with them and spoke to them for the whole of Sunday afternoon, and I've been assisting them since then. And on the back of that, I've written two articles. The first was entitled "The Gauteng Education Department Mishandles Yet Another Racism Debacle at Pretoria High School for Girls," which focuses on the actions of the Gauteng Education Department. And then the second one, I think, is more disturbing and quite shocking, frankly. And that one's entitled How White Children and Teachers Are Being Systematically Targeted and Abused at Pretoria High School for Girls. So that's what I've been up to over the last 10 days. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are at the moment.
Okay. So as far as I know, at the moment, the hearings were set for today. They may very well be ongoing. Although it strikes me from what you said about the charge sheet that these are beyond rookie mistakes in the way it's been set out with a lack of detail, etc. And from our experience with disciplinary hearings, very often these are suspended or terminated because of that those very deficiencies. And I'm just talking generally. I'm not even talking with specifics to this case. This then, to my mind, is the problem. The whole problem with this way the man is dealt with, and I'd like to come on to that shortly, is the fact that if there's one thing, whether there has been racism and girls have suffered from racism, or whether the racism is not as alleged, it isn't racism, and the charge of racism could be very damaging to those who've allegedly committed it. It has to be dealt with really calmly, professionally, quickly, and with particular care to the fact that, as I say, you're dealing with school children. They may be on their way to adulthood, but they're not there yet. Emotions are very high. Social media is a, as far as I'm concerned, a ghastly factor in all of this that wasn't around in my day. And yet, my impression from what I've read in your article and in other reports is that the Gauteng Department of Education has handled this in the opposite of any way one would think decent.
Yes, Sarah, I would agree with that. You said that these matters should be dealt with calmly and professionally, and I think calmness and professionalism are two attributes that I would certainly not use to describe how the Gauteng Education Department has dealt with this matter. The matter first emerged on the previous Thursday, and I understand that on the Friday morning, an official from the Gauteng Education Department appeared at the assembly of the school and stood up in front of the entire school and announced that the school would be suspending these individuals. If necessary, they will expel them and they will remove them from their position as being school prefects. And this is whilst the girls were sitting in the assembly, right? Mm-hmm. So they actually grabbed their bags and ran away after the assembly. They felt so intimidated. So the feeling of hostility was so intense that they went to go and hide in different classrooms in the school. One parent told me that he felt that his daughter's physical security, physical safety could be in danger, and he rushed around to pick her up from the school. So this is the first assembly that happened on the Friday. This was then followed by a second assembly on the following Wednesday, when another official from the Gauteng Education Department arrived at the school. And he said in the assembly that the department would take decisive action against racism, regardless of whether there was tangible evidence or not. Extraordinary statement, of which we have a voice recording. And that statement was then reiterated in writing to parents in a newsletter that was published later that day. And so that gives you an indication of just how heavy-handed the department's response has been. And so I would argue that the department's response has been as heavy-handed as it has been incompetent. Mm. And it has caused enormous emotional distress for these girls. In addition to that, the department has been amplifying this matter in the press, which is completely inappropriate. The reason you suspend people is to try and dampen down the matter so that you can have a free and fair and professional disciplinary hearing. Last Wednesday, the department sent a press release to what appears to be every media house in the country, giving their narrative, and shockingly, every newspaper seems to have amplified the department's line on this matter. The department's spokesman then went on to ENCA television and spent many minutes, probably 10 or 20 minutes, having an interview on this matter. And so this has completely inflamed the situation to the point where we now have the EFF having a picket outside of the school this morning. And so if you go to Pretoria High School for Girls, you will likely find EFF members led by Obakeng Ramabodu standing outside a school where there are children having a picket against racism. Mm. And this is completely, you know, this is highly alarming. I mean, Obakeng Ramabodu is the individual who is the leader of the EFF in the Tshwane Council. This is the guy who just last week said that he wanted to moor a boer and wanted to drink the blood of an Afrikaner. And these guys are now standing outside the front gate of the of Pretoria High School for Girls. And the reason they're there, Sara, is because the Gauteng Education Department has been inflaming the situation. And disgracefully, in my opinion, and I'm sure it will be in the opinion of anyone who reads the WhatsApp transcript, all of this is based on complete nonsense. And it's absolutely appalling.
Well, what of course, you know, I've commented on it that, you know, generally it's held that one shouldn't attribute to malice what can be better attributed to incompetence, or in this case, gross incompetence. But what does worry me, and I'd be interested in your comment on this, is one is the handling of it was appalling. The sheer publicity around a subject where you don't want to be opaque, but you reserve the publicity, if any, to the right moment in the right way, after processes have been satisfactorily investigated and concluded. But also it comes at the time when President Ramaphosa has said there's no room for racialism, that non-racism is a cornerstone of our constitution. You have the GNU. It's a work in progress. We do not yet know whether it will work or not. But what has happened is that the major parties in opposition, MK and, surprise, surprise, the EFF, have been resorting to racist, personalised attacks on an ongoing basis. One is that's their modus operandi, and the other is a sign that you're dealing with an opposition that has run out of ideas and has run out of strategy. And just, you know, all the performative stuff really hasn't got them anywhere. They didn't read the situation well. And it's almost prelim time. It's very worrying, you know. It's very worrying to for our minds to even consider going there.
Well, look, I mean, I've been tracking this now for 2 or 3 years. And as I mentioned, I've written 15 essays on this topic, and I've got another 20 that I could write if I could find the time on it. If I haven't written an essay on a school, it's not because I don't care. It's because I don't have the time to do it. But what is very disturbing, Sara, is the patterns that are emerging here. It is abundantly clear that there is an industry of people who have every interest in trying to cause as much discord as possible in our schools. Some of those people are the political actors that you just mentioned, people who thrive upon division and on hostility and on breaking down any sense of nationhood in South Africa. And that would include the EFF and to a lesser extent, the ANC. And this is amplified by a media that almost relishes in publishing stories on this topic. I was watching an interview on ENCA, and you know, the news anchor's eyes lit up when this topic came on. You know, it was almost like a visceral reaction to hearing about another one of these incidents. And then finally, there's the rather malign influence of the diversity and transformation consulting industry, which is, believe it or not, an industry. It's a group of consultants who arrive on the scene of a racism incident such as this very quickly, and are highly adept at getting themselves appointed to go into these schools and run workshops for the teachers and for the children, very expensive workshops, where they transmit the ideas of critical race theory to highly impressionable children. Many of these consultants are aligned with Robin DiAngelo, who's an American academic who has published a number of books on this topic, one of which is called White Fragility. And what they do is they legitimize and validate ideas from critical race theory, which are completely bogus and which are extremely damaging in a school context. And this inflames the situation even more. And what you then find is the school turns into an incredibly hostile place. And often people leave the school. I've got dozens of instances of teachers and children who've had to leave schools in South Africa because they've been bullied in the name of anti-racism. And I think that a bit like the Olympics comes around every 4 years, I think we are entering into a new woke wave in South Africa. We had it in 2020 after the death of George Floyd. We had it in 2016 in the aftermath of Roads Must Fall. And it appears, you know, 2024, it's the Olympics, and it's time for another round of woke race baiting. And so you can now see instances emerging at Pinelands, at JP High School for Girls, following on from Pretoria High School for Girls. This is why it's so damaging and so important that these matters are dealt with properly, right? Because I am highly confident that anyone who reads these WhatsApp messages will. I mean, one senior counsel who is dealing with this matter said to me, her response was, "Good grief, is this really what this is all about?"
Yeah,
you know, and that's why it's so important that the truth about Pretoria High School for Girls gets out. Now, there's a disciplinary process that is currently being undertaken that is continuing today. I don't want to preempt the outcome of that process, but what does need to be said is that the procedural aspects of the disciplinary have not been dealt with in a manner that is anywhere close to being acceptable. You can't have a situation where girls are put into a disciplinary and they're not even told what they said, which is problematic. They're just told, "You're a member of the WhatsApp group." Some of these girls didn't even participate in the conversation. They were just members of the WhatsApp group. Right? It's completely unacceptable.
No, I mean, I know that there have been commentators on it saying that, you know, if professionals who say that if you're on a WhatsApp group, it's up to you to say something in opposition if you're not happy with it. I think, first of all, they misunderstand the whole nature of how social media works. And that's assuming that what was said was objectionable or not. And there are a whole lot of dynamics that make it all sound very much more simplistic than it is. But one of the concerns that's come out of a number of the incidents that you and others have covered is that I put very often the intervention of the departments of education to blame on this, is that in an attempt to desperately be seen to deal with racism, even if the right outcome is reached in the long run, what happens is that the power and authority of the school management and the school governing body become emasculated. And once they become emasculated, you know, teenagers who get a kick out of bullying can gain a high level of power, and if those managers and parents don't get to regain that authority, the school may as well close. And surely, I would say, for this reason, the departments of education should be assisting, not capturing the process. And it's for those reasons the intention of the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act bill, still to be signed into law, the argument for narrowing the scope and authority of governing bodies and the decision making of such governing bodies is in fact not served. It doesn't serve the efficient and effective running of schools at all. In fact, it does the opposite. Your views on that?
Well, absolutely. I think a lot of the stuff is just about breaking down teacher authority. And I met on the weekend. I went through to Pretoria and had to go to rather secretive, sort of random places in Pretoria to meet with teachers who were too terrified to even speak with me. They told me about how class discipline has broken down completely in the aftermath of this incident. White girls of any description, not even the girls who are accused in this matter, but virtually any white girl in the school is now a target for anti-racism activism, which is really just bullying done in the name of anti-racism. Teachers feel that they've lost control over their classes. They feel that the principal has lost authority because the principal has been humiliated in this matter. She was frog-marched into standing up in a school assembly and reading out an apology to the girls for her handling of the matter. And so when this happens, it's a bit like something out of Mao's Cultural Revolution in the 1960s, where, you know, people were publicly denounced in public squares. When this happens, what happens is that teacher authority breaks down, discipline collapses, and the whole fabric of the school starts to unravel. So that's the first point. The second point has got to do with the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act. And I think it is now an act because it has been enacted by Parliament, but it hasn't been signed into law by the President. And I think the National Minister of Education is encouraging the President to refer it back to Parliament because she believes it, I think she believes it may be unconstitutional. There are other actors, notably the Gauteng Education Department or the Gauteng government, who are encouraging the President to sign the law. And I understand that COSATU has now threatens a couple of days of mass action unless the President signs the law. So you can see very clearly who is on which side of this topic. Now, this Bella Act, in my opinion, is the ultimate instrument of school capture. It takes authority away from the school governing body. One of the reasons I have a shred of hope for these girls at Pretoria High School for Girls is because the disciplinary is under the auspices of the school, not the department, right? So they've they've appointed the at least as far as I understand, they've appointed the panel that will be adjudicating this case. But with the Bella Act, what's going to happen is that more and more power is going to move away from the school governing bodies towards the department. And that is really terrifying because it means that these schools are going to could potentially be transformed from being schools into being nothing more than woke indoctrination campuses, schools that are fully under the control of the ANC EFF. Appointments of staff, admissions of learners, the school's finances could well end up in the hands of the government rather than in the hands of school governing bodies. And that is a very, very worrying development, and it's why the Bella Act should be resisted by everybody in every possible way.
Richard, thank you very much for covering in a very brief period of time a very complex and potentially explosive subject, and hope that sanity and those who know the law prevail, because clearly many of those implementing it are not meeting the challenge expected of them. Thank you once again.
Thank you, sir.